sent out earlier, I would just like to move item six, the 2022 planning, to the last so that we can hear the department Go Bond project update and rec center update prior to that, if that's okay with you guys. Right. Were there any other changes or additions to tonight's agenda? Then do we have a motion to approve it with this change?
I'll move.
Great. Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Good. Okay. And then the summary notes, did you have a chance to read through those?
Yep.
And were there any changes? Do we have a motion to approve those?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Great. I'll second.
All right.
We all good? Okay. So have we had any community members sign up for community comments? Tara, I saw earlier that there weren't, but you never know. Last minute, no?
No last minute ones, nope.
All right. Are there specific items of interest from the board before we get into the updates and planning?
And Ken, I've got a quick question on the bridge issue, Marius Young to Cedar Oak. Is there, or Cedar Island, is there a, is there something that precludes the city from moving that or reinstalling the bridge before the 15th of April? I ask because some neighbors have asked me about it and I didn't know.
Yeah, the permitted time is really April to October.
Okay.
As you know, kind of pending water levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
At each end of that.
Okay. So given that, I would just ask that as soon as water levels permit after the 15th of April, that be on the horizon for the Parks and Rec team.
Okay. You bet.
Do you want to see that at all of the meetings or?
No, I just, it's just an interest so that, because as the weather warms up, people will start going out there to the island, and having the bridge up means easy access. Having the bridge not up means people either going through yards or wading the water or both. It just as an aside, it's kind of interesting. We watch people at times, there's a strip of high ground that when the tide is down, they'll walk out dry footed out to the island, spend a couple hours out there. The tide comes up and they come out of the brush and they look, and it's just open water. And they look upstream, they look downstream, they walk each direction trying to figure out where did we cross. And it was, you came out in the right spot. They just didn't recognize that it's still tidal here below the falls. So any rate, that traffic will start picking up as the weather warms up. So
awesome. That's all. Right. Any other items of interest that people wanted to surface? I just, are you going to speak to the FEMA update on improvements with Marius Young in your overview, Ken?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we can speak on FEMA now. You know, we are the one piece that we have kind of been finalized was the Marius Young parking lot. The overflow parking lot that was used.
Right.
I think I know where it's at. I mean, FEMA is quite an organization, and we have worked with them very closely in the past 10 days. Came to an agreement on, you know, kind of what was damaged, what was there initially, you know, square footages, all those things. And it appears that we will be soon approved for payment from them, total amount, it looks like about $84,000. which will cover some of the repairs, depending on what those are. And I can talk about that kind of now or later, whatever you want. Basically, we might as well get it out of the way. So the Marriott Center parking lot, we had to do, it was in such bad shape, just to preserve it at all, we did what was called a cement treatment, where they, we worked with a contractor, and they basically kind of rototilled and ground up the whole parking lot, added a cement mixture, leveled it, made it flat again. And once that happens, it's sitting there in that state now, and it's kind of functional, but the next step is traditionally either put gravel on top and compact that for parking, which would put it back the way it was, or the other option is to put asphalt on top. So right now I'm working with our planning department to see what may be required from a city development code standpoint to put in asphalt, which would be a change. It looks like that is part of the Willamette River Greenway Act, which would mean a permit that we could certainly do. The other step that I'm working on for our approval is, as you know, that's a leased property, 20-year lease from Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. And any changes that we make to our master plan there or improvements has to go through Oregon Parks Recreation Department for approval. So we've started that process just to see if what their thoughts are on the proposal of potentially our thoughts are to either put down asphalt for half of the parking lot and then kind of put a fence, a delineator fence, and then have the back half gravel that could be opened up if we needed more parking, and kind of putting some jersey barriers in there to delineate where chips are kept. If you've been there, we have a big chip pile that kind of sometimes we lose control of, because contractors will just keep dumping even though we have a barricade. The other option is to pave the whole parking area and still kind of delineate that chip area. So we, like I said, we've reached out to OPRD. We think we have the funding to do either one of those with asphalt. And it's been in our capital improvement plan for probably about 12 years. We just haven't had the funding or, the opportunity to write a grant for that. Since we kind of can leverage some of that money, we'd like to do some improvements now. The other things in our park, just an update on FEMA. We have the boardwalk at Marius Young that was damaged. And we have some small field damages that we're working with FEMA. A lot of smaller things, fences that were smashed and those types of things. And with FEMA, things just kind of get in, put in buckets of different categories. So we're kind of, with our finance department, going through those different categories one at a time to work on reimbursement.
Okay. That's a great overview. Is there a timeline established for this project timeline?
Or FEMA or the Marius Young project itself?
Both, either.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, if we get approval, final approval for payment or a check from FEMA, I'm not sure how that works, to be honest. I'm not leading that. We would like to get the Marius Young parking lot put back together as soon as possible. And we have a contractor that, is pretty ready to, put down asphalt or put down the gravel. We've got all those bids. It looks like the boardwalk project at Marius Young will be rebuilt probably just after July. That contractor has been, we've got bids, waiting till July, to be honest, got us out of a lot of requirements that FEMA had during the summer months. So we can't get it done right now. We'll just get it done as soon as we can when the contractor is available.
Awesome. Are there any other questions or thoughts from the board regarding the Marius Young project, FEMA? Okay, then let's go ahead and go into, were there any other items of interest from the board? I didn't mean to cut that off at all. Has anybody been in a park this last week or so? I've been down at Fields Bridge, and the Tualatin River is just like up, down, up, down. It's going to be very interesting when the school gets in. I just thought I'd share. Any other observations of park activity that anybody would like to share?
We've just Mary S. Young, and we took a walk through Savannah Oaks a few days ago, and so forth. And when the sun's out, the people are out there. They're really looking forward to, you know, getting outdoors and enjoying the sunshine. So it's good to see. But what I can see, things appear to be in good shape.
Right.
The Merrillhurst Heights Park is super busy, and the views have been fantastic of the snow-covered mountains. So I recommend going up there.
I will. That's not a park that I oftentimes go to anymore. I did lots of scout stuff, but good recommendation. Okay, so do we want to do a rec and adult community center update, Tara?
Yes. Okay, we're busy. We're getting into summer mode, so it's been a little crazy the last few weeks. But yeah, since our last meeting, we did have our Valentine's Day giveaway. We gave out almost 200 spring plants to citizens, residents we had at Hammerley Park, which was fantastic. I think it was really good. We had people just kind of driving, you know, they're on Highway 43 and they just popped in, they saw these flowers. So it was great. A lot of people walked up. We don't do too many things at Hammerley, I think, because of the traffic down there, but a lot of, you know, citizens walking from their homes, school was out. So it was nice to see a difference. I guess
that's great.
Neighborhood, you know, get our stuff out there. But yeah, we had them donated from the Walmart market and Ace Hardware. So that was very nice of them. We've got Lucky out in the park. I don't know if you've seen Lucky the leprechaun in your parks that you've ventured out to. Popular, we've had about almost 40 booklets returned from kids and just parents, families out and about. That ends next week. Let's see, fields are getting full with all the sports associations, so they're pretty excited getting ready for baseball, softball, soccer, all those. We did have our ambassador program start. So we do have 4 new ambassadors this year that are going to be out and about promoting the Old Time Fair, kind of working on their community service projects. So they're just in the beginning, so they're kind of brainstorming what they can do to be out in the public more. Yeah, we're gearing up for our fair, music, movies, summer camps are coming up. We have spring break camps in a couple weeks. And let's see, oh, Arbor Month next month. So we're going to kick off with Arbor Week that first week. We have a bunch of seedlings donated from Bartlett Tree Experts. So pretty excited about that. So we'll give out some native plants that first part of the week. And then we'll plant some of those probably for our Earth Day event towards the end of the month on April 23rd. But it's turned into Arbor Month. So April's going to be all about natives, plantings, and all that stuff. So
is there a little description schedule of all of the Arbor Day, Earth Day activities that we could put into the city communication?
Yeah, we have our webpage. I was just trying to update some stuff today. So we have the flyer out and then the plant giveaway for that week. It'll be up here at City Hall, but we're going to try to work, you know, in some, maybe some tree pruning and probably promote maybe some, maybe works with some Girl Scouts or, you know, Scout troops to do some plantings in some of the open spaces.
Great. It's great.
So Tara, the Earth Day stuff will be on the website then once that's up. Okay. Thank you.
We're gonna host it at Wilderness Park this year, so okay. As Parks and Rec. So we'll be on site, working with the volunteer coordinator at Wilderness. So that, and also be with Saul, but we'll be on site that day. So it'll be a, you know, luncheon for everybody afterwards and a lot of volunteers. So that'd be good.
Great.
So board, just so you know, on that communications piece, Vicky.
Yeah.
So the city, trying to remember, we have very recently within the past 3 to 4 weeks hired a communications position back for our administration department that handles all of those weekly newsletters, you know, the social media and a lot of those aspects. So we will be hopefully have one more body, not necessarily in parks, but to consolidate and come up with a communications plan so that I think the city manager, you know, wants to up those communications and put some systems in place that, you know, will help all the departments make sure that the community has information. We, our assistant, Dylan, the assistant to the city manager, has been doing that. I don't know, it seems like 9 months, maybe a year, kind of as an extra thing on his plate. So that's a great thing for the city.
It's a great thing for the city. That's great. Okay.
And then yeah, adult center update. They just got their March, April newsletter out. So I don't know if you guys, it's on our website, but I can shoot that out to you as an attachment. They've got their stuff. They are gonna start serving lunches, hopefully on Wednesdays now up there. So they found a great caterer, lots of energy and has great food. So, so they're gonna start every Wednesday up there.
How are your, what's the enrollment level for all of your camps and everything this spring? Do you feel like you have enough to meet demand, or do you feel like it's maybe slow to fill? How do you feel about where you're at or the trend you're seeing with enrollments?
Spring has been pretty consistent. You know, like our dance classes carry over, like they start, you know, different terms or sessions. And so they start in January and then a lot of them continue on. So that's been consistent. Our spring break camps have been pretty, I mean, average. I mean, they're filling up, but they're not, you know, we get a lot of last minute registrations. So next week they might be like, oh, next week's spring break. What are we gonna do? And then we haven't had too much this spring. So we'll have more in the summer. Like more outdoor, you know, like coil outdoor and stuff like that. All of our summer camps we're bringing back. But yeah.
That's great.
Vicky, in some of the meetings that I'm in, and I know Tara's in a little different ones, but you know, I think from the administrator level, you know, I think we're seeing, you know, the mask mandate is going to drop off indoors in the state of Oregon tomorrow night. There are people that are very happy that's going to happen, and they will have their kids or themselves, you know, go participate in things indoors. But I think at the same time, we're going to have a certain percentage of people that, you know, still are going to be potentially cautious, you know, either still wear masks or not be ready to participate with a group of people who don't have masks indoors. So I think, you know, it's still kind of that transition for some percentage and you know, as we get to summer, like Tara said, outdoors, I think people are much more comfortable, I think.
That's great. Awesome. Any questions or comments or suggestions from the board regarding the rec programs? Do you know when the market starts in Willamette?
It's usually around May. I thought May to August.
We just met a little bit with them. They haven't turned in their application. You know, we're trying to with the new, last year was the first year with the new 7th Avenue Main Street down there, trying to figure out what works best with tents and parking and vendors. And, you know, they are expecting to have about 80 vendors this year, a very large market, which is great. So we're just right now kind of working together to make sure it'll function, everybody's safe and nobody gets run over by new systems that are down there. Basically.
That's great. Okay. Then I know that you started with the FEMA information, but do you want to, Ken, do you want to go ahead and go through your update, project update?
Yeah, real quick. So Tara, being so gracious, failed to mention that not only are they setting up all these programs for spring and summer, but we are, if you recall, we're almost 1 week away from moving to a new recreation registration and facility reservation software. Mm-hmm. So we've been working on that with our finance, and they've been going to training and starting to enter all the programs that people register for. So that's projected to go live on March 21st. It's a program called Rec Desk. We think it'll be an improvement not only for our community members to register, but also for our staff, you know, from a functionality standpoint. We'll phase in recreation program registration first, and as soon as we get that kind of completely under control, we'll go to phase two, which will be all of our facility reservations. Which will be a big plus for the community to see what's available, what they can reserve, and for us kind of get out of some of the archaic systems that have a little more opportunity for human error, because you have to, you know, enter everything and check everything yourself by hand without technology. Tara's staff, our staff, actually all of our rec programs also went to Oregon Festival and Events Association conference. We have an award-winning staff. I don't have the picture in front of me, but they were the winners of the wig contest, so that was spectacular.
Wig, yes.
6 different colors of wigs on 6 different staff members, so they are award-winning staff.
Well, we're known for something.
That's right. Here we go. So that was beneficial for them. They got a lot of good things to bring back and learn from that. So in the past month, we were able to add and hire 1 park maintenance worker. That was kind of in a little revolving door, if you recall, but now we have hired 1 of the new ones that was given to us graciously in our budget this year. We still have 1 left to hire. We have an open continuous message out on our HR, human resources, job board. So we're looking for our next great applicants. As far as the GoBon project specifically, Maddox Woods, if you recall, we talked about partnering with Westland Rotary to put in a new paver viewing area that they utilize for the heron rookeries during certain times of the year. That was completed the second weekend in February. Our staff was able to rebuild the rest of the project. Besides the new viewing area with pavers, we had some areas that were sinking and had been taken out kind of as we had to put in a sewer connection to the home at Maddox. So they were able to put that all back together. The other thing they had to do, if you've been there, we used to have a wood viewing platform that kind of projected over the bank. It's been there about 15 years, and we've had to move it back onto solid ground on 2 occasions as the river kind of takes the bank away. Unfortunately, at this time, after 15 years, it was at a point where it was had so much rot underneath. We had to remove it, so our staff is putting out some fencing to make it look nice like the rest of the bank and put it back together. Our staff has done a lot of concrete work up at the adult community center and some of our planters. We're starting to get ready for spring and summer. So we're starting pressure washing on our 5 spray pads in our parks, pressure washing all of our courts, skate park area, and different pavers have been pressure washed. Staff has worked on the ball fields, the dirt ball fields we have left down at Hammerley. They're getting Willamette Park ready. Also down there where the 1 dirt field is. We are partnering with our informal friends group, I guess, at the off-leash dog area at Maris Young. If you recall, they came in and talked to us. And so we got different quotes and pricing. And late last week, we started to work on the pH level on the grass by spreading some organic lime. Partnered with them, communicate with them so they know what's going on. The end of March, we will be putting up a chain link fence kind of in the middle section of that off-leash area, so that we can keep people out when we do the work on the grass itself, when we slice seeding and fertilization and those things, so that we can actually get some grass to germinate without dogs and people, you know, turning it into a mud pit. They wanted us to do that middle section because it's really the muddiest. And we'll try to work on the outside edges kind of as we can. We're kind of limited down there because we don't have irrigation on that field. So we got to put down the seed, hope we get a little rain and it'll germinate for us. As far as the actual GoBond projects, one of the big ones we've been working on a lot, which falls into my facilities bucket, but kind of is Robinwood Station. We opened the bids for that project on February 23rd, which is the renovation of the 2,600 square foot facility. Bids came in very high, unfortunately. The bid for construction came in at about $964,000. With the things that are left and things that we've already paid for, architecture, construction documents, project has a total of about $1.2 million. That is actually on the schedule right now to go to City Council on Monday to award that bid Monday. Other GoBond projects, the Willamette shelter roof that we had talked about previously, tentatively scheduled for April replacement. GoBond project at the McLean House, the large wood pavilion to replace their tent. It's almost ready to be resubmitted with new architectural and engineering information to go get a completeness review from planning. The Willamette River Trail, we met today. We actually received the survey work that we were contracted last Thursday. We met today to talk about the next steps, and looks like we're going to try and reach out to some engineering firms that we've used in the past and worked on trails to save some money and start to look at how that terrain will work potentially with some trail designs. We're still moving forward with the non-motorized boat and street improvements, parking at Willamette Park, that's all contracted. Earlier this week, I met with, well, it's kind of part of Willamette Main Street. About 2018, there was a grant written with Clackamas County Tourism to add some signage to Willamette Park. And the concept was, you know, let's put up some signage that would provide people with some history of the area and let them know that we have a main street and they can go have lunch and do different things, right? Not necessarily highlighting any specific business, but just the area. So we, that grant's been laying out there and they finally are going to kind of move forward. So we met and we have about 4 different areas. We're going to put some signage at the park to, you know, kind of promote river tourism, which was very popular these days. And have some historical information about the area and see if people won't walk up or go up to Willamette Main Street or let them be aware that there's food up there. Other than that, someone mentioned the sun came out, and that's a scary thing in the Parks and Rec because as soon as the sun comes out once, people want the parks perfect. So we are, you know, gearing up to mow every park, get them around, like Tara said, get them ready for our sports. They're all gung-ho to be everywhere. You know, we're making sure that everything is as ready as we can get it after our 1 week of torrential downpours last week. So people will be happy and parks will look good. So that's kind of what we've been up to. So answer any questions or we can move on.
Just what do you anticipate being the completion time with the non-motorized boat launch and parking area?
Well, that's a phenomenal, great question. So the current contract we have really gets us to design concepts. So with this project, on the river, there are many hoops to jump through, right? Because this is going to have to go through land use, not only the ADA pathway down to the beach, or beach, I wish it was a beautiful beach, to the waterfront area. But the street improvements itself and the parking lot, you know, this is one of those unique things with even the street. All of this land is owned by PGE. So there's not a public right of way. So even our public works can't just pop in the street like they normally would. You know, and then as you look at the river, we're going to have no rise certifications we have to do, and a lot of different organizations to work with to get through the land use process. We'll have to do some cultural studies and different things. And so, Vicki, unfortunately, we're probably more than 1 year out to see anything happening on the ground itself. We are going to try to focus kind of on that upper construction area first. I mean, if we can get the street done and get the new parking done that aren't affected, the river area and the Tualatin River greenways and those things, we'll try.
Great.
Ken, did you say that the design package was out for that project? I mean, are there sketches or drawings that we could just take a look at to see what the layout of it might look like?
If I said that, I was mistaken. So this contract does that. It gets us
to that point.
Yeah.
Then you can go get permits and all that stuff.
A lot of this is just, you know, the survey work and starting to have a record.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a informal drawing.
Those are always fun.
Of a napkin.
We don't know if it meets code, but it's a nice parking lot with a new street.
Awesome. Okay. Any other updates on that?
I think I've talked long enough.
Okay. Appreciate it. Any questions from the board? Then I'm going to go ahead and share screen. So at our last meeting, we started looking at just kind of putting together a prioritized plan that leads us to a meeting schedule and a communication, advisory communication to the board, to the city council. And so Patty provided input, really just highlighting dog parks, swim and play area, and community gardens. Chris and Todd both provided input. If others did, I did not see it. Chris, I had a problem. I was having a problem opening up your document. You sent it in a Google Doc, and for some reason it was locked for me. I have, no, excuse me, Todd. I couldn't open. Chris, I got yours. I used yours, and I added other people's to yours because you had some input. So Chris and Patty, yours are already incorporated into this March 9th version. Todd, I wasn't able to open yours.
Okay. Ken, I think Ken had an issue too. Were you because it kicked back and later asked me to provide access. Ken, were you able to get in?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Todd, I don't even know how it happened. I did, and you provided access, and then it went to my home Gmail account. But I did.
Okay. Could you pass that on to Vicki, or should I try again?
I thought I emailed it to you in a Word format. Did you get an email from me this morning?
I got an email. From this morning? I'll take another look, Ken.
Let me know. I can always try and resend it again.
Okay. So what I did is I added the community gardens. This is in simple markup because it's so difficult to read with all of the review information. But I just went through and Chris's input is already in here. Patty's input is already in here. This is not prioritized, but I did take the liberty of highlighting some of the specific plans that we have, that we've talked about, that we know we want to have as discussion items that have already been, yeah, we know that that's ongoing. And so started pulling those, and as people were speaking tonight, I started popping it into a meeting format. And so I have in April bridge status that came up today, maybe looking at the project timelines, the Arbor Day, Earth Day plans. And then we knew that dog park discussions on dog parks was going to be a big item. So I went ahead and plopped that in there. And we know that in December, we always have kind of a strategic review of progress and, end of year report. So as we take a look at our priorities, one of the things that we wanted to do is one, make sure that we were in consensus on the priorities that were listed, and then be able to identify if there were specific discussion items on specific dates. I don't really want to start with the number one that came out of the community survey and master plan, because we really don't have a plan for that, right?
No.
Vicki, do you want me to just Todd's input real quick?
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
So under number two, forward action needed. I don't know what you want to put here, but Todd had said, let's discuss Willamette Park boat dock for swimming and related safety issues. Period, and development of waterfront swimming area.
Great.
That's the first thing, and then new topics. First one, unique environmental habitats.
So a little commentary there, as Chris pointed out, he was over in Savannah Oaks. That's a unique kind of habitat. I'm sure, I don't know, do we have any old growth areas? And even though the Nature Conservancy area down by the high school's not one of our parks, that's a pretty unique area as well. So just thought there might be some interest to talk about that.
And we're forward action on that one. I would just put identify and protect.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one
more.
All right.
Which was disc golf.
Okay.
And the forward action was review partnership with Willamette Christian Church.
Because they have that's where the course is, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And we
I would maybe suggest that was built by it was an Eagle Scout project. And I know that there is Scout energy around if there are improvements to be made, they would be happy to do that.
Great.
Just for your information, we did meet with them maybe 8, 9 months ago. Our staff walked it with their facility maintenance staff, and we have a kind of a checklist of what kind of needs to be done to make it more useful. And then obviously there's things on there that would make it kind of much more attractive at a higher level with concrete, throw pads and all kinds of things. But I did reach back out to them and sent that to them. And, we can certainly reach back out to them. And it's their property. It's kind of in their vault for it. I was trying to think of who could do what. What could they do and how could we help? So we can
certainly. That's great.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay. So I have on the screen, I hope you can see it. I have the 11 items that have been brought up, the source of where that came from and any current investment or plan that's been happening, progress on the plan and forward action needed some of these. I know that you are doing maintenance. I'm going to make a note here. Maintenance on Mary S. Young Frog Park. You talked about that tonight. Are there any decisions around changing it, or is that our discussion point?
I guess one verbiage thing.
Yeah.
Mary S. Young really isn't a dog park. It's an off-leash area.
Mary S. Young off-leash area. Thank you.
It's a technicality, but I think dog parks would be considered, would visually look a lot different.
Would be fenced in.
Yeah, well, potentially, yeah. And they just different amenities. Yeah, correct.
Okay.
So Tara might know more. I just talked too much, but we have kind of had conversations with them a little bit about safety for dogs, and could an Eagle Scout put a split rail fence, across the front where the curb is, even, the whole park would have many openings, not, that would make it maybe more attractive and just kind of, keep the dogs in. They were concerned about dogs. Mm-hmm. They were concerned about people driving too fast because dogs are off leash. So we kind of thought a compromise might be a split rail fence of some type where dogs might not run in the parking lot as frequently. But decisions haven't really been made. That's correct, right, Tara?
Yeah, it's just been a conversation.
So do you think that this is something that we want to bring into Parks and Rec Advisory Board around? So what, what has been suggested and what do we advise so that we start moving to approval and decisions?
I think it's a conversation. I think it's a conversation we should continue with that group, and see where it goes. I think there are, traditionally a dog park has a 4 or 5 foot chain link fence and you have one entrance, that's really not what we discussed. And I don't know, this is kind of a long history of what it is, but I think, some delineation as our great volunteers even kind of clear out the back of the dog park by the access road, more dogs are potentially running through out the back into the road. So I, that's kind of why we suggested it to alleviate some of that problems and, split rail fences and trapping dogs in with one entrance. You could have many entrances per se, but at least help that issue. So I'd like to keep the conversation going on that, and they might not want it, but I think they might be willing. I think the other conversation, though, as you know, we've had a number of inquiries about other dog parks, adding dog parks. So I think that might be a conversation that looking at sites maybe, and then a broader conversation with where those might be recommended to go, not those, if one, two, whatever that may be.
So would it be appropriate to maybe invite the dog park advisory group? And if I got that wrong, if there's a different name for that, let me know, for their recommendations, and that we can kind of open it up for a discussion, put it on our schedule.
Can I ask a quick question? Is there a budget consideration for like fencing? Like where would that come from? Or is it something that, yeah, it sounds good, but in the end we may not have the money for it. So is there a budget for something, action to be taken?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, we couldn't afford, a 600 feet of brand new black chain link fence that's 5 feet tall. But if we talk about a split rail or something of that nature, we can work with Eagle Scouts, that can help put that in, and cost is a little lower. So, I think it depends what we end up deciding to do, whether there's a budget, Jane. I know that's not the perfect answer.
Well, I think what our role is as an advisory board, to be listening to, here are the priorities that we're hearing. We are advising that now these priorities start being, to meet these priorities, here's our recommended actions to be considered, whether it's a capital improvement project or, there are some other way of what is the budget? How's it going to be funded? But if we don't advise action, then it's up to individuals who have their own interests. So even if we say there needs to be a dog park at Acme Park, that's not a decision, that's a recommendation, that's an advisory recommendation. But until we say we must invest in a dog park, Acme is the best site, of course I'm making Acme up, then it doesn't really go anywhere. And that's what gets people kind of itchy.
They call them, their group is the Marius Young Dog Park Advisory Group. So
thank you.
Yeah. Should they change it to off leash? I'm not sure. Advisory group. I don't know.
I mean, as somebody that spends a lot of time at Marius Young, what you'll find out if you talk to the people with dogs down there is there are some of them that are interested in fencing the area in, but most of them are not. They kind of like it the way it is. And yeah, some dogs run in the parking lot, and occasionally, especially since they've cleared out the backside, they're running the roads, but I'm not aware of a lot of dogs getting hit by cars. I mean, it's always a possibility, but I think if you got all the dog people together and said, should we fence the area, you would not get a yes on that. Not to mention, as Ken mentioned, it's very expensive if we're going to fence it like we need to fence a dog park. So the way that dog off-leash dog area has been for a long time has been pretty successful, even the way it is.
Yeah,
I personally would love to talk about dog parks someplace else, because if you live down in the Willamette area, if you want to use Marius Young, that's a bit of a long drive. If you live on the uphill on the hill, I mean, Merrillhurst Park has some large guys run their dogs all over there, but there are areas that we could put dog parks in other parks, which might be a good thing for the city, so they don't have to go just one place.
Well, I think that's the discussion. And, you know, it comes up every year. And I think it would be really nice if Parks and Rec Advisory Board put together, this is what we advise, this is what we think is needed and why, and put it on a date that people are aware and they can provide written testimony or come to the meeting and have part of that discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we have 11 items. And then, like I said, I just kind of started plotting them into, how come I don't have May? I'm so sorry. So if we can start working on, an output for our next meeting being kind of a communication of all of this together and something that can go to City Council and put on the website, start working with our communication specialists, and then we could go ahead and slot in dog parks in May if we think we'd be ready for that.
I think we want to make sure that as best we can is that people in the city know that we're going to talk about dog parks.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I think, you know, a lot of people have dogs, as we all know, mm-hmm. and there'll be some people that it'd be nice to, so they have the opportunity to come and say,
right,
I want it here, I don't want it here, that kind of stuff. So we can get that information before we put a dog park in one of our parks in an area where maybe they don't want that. So we need to hear more than just the people at Mary S. Young, although that's where all the dogs are because it's the only place they can take them if they want to stay in the city.
Do you think that we need a longer timeline to get to that discussion so that we can do early communications, maybe putting it into June instead?
Yeah, I think that we need some time to do that so that
yeah.
people can hear about it and know about it and talk to us or, you know, talk to somebody so that they can get some information in.
I wouldn't go beyond June though, because then you get into summertime and fewer people to attend. So I think June's fine.
Okay. So as we take a look at these 11 items, I would like to hear from all of our board members. Does this capture the prioritized needs? Oh, excuse me, and staff, of course. Staff, you have the most intimate understanding of what a lot of the needs are out there. Do you feel like this captures kind of the prioritized needs? And then, you know, when we get into the current investment or plan, that's where we get into action. Is there anything in here that you don't agree with or that is missing? I'll just go around. John, what is your thought? Does this have what?
Yeah, I mean, it covers everything that I'm interested in. I mean, the only thing I would say, and I mentioned it a little bit before, is an indoor facility or, you know, swim area, recreation area. I think that we're a long way from doing anything there. So I'm not so sure we need to talk about that.
Vicki?
Yeah.
Best to not mention, we have a ballot measure in May. If it was to pass, and whatever else happens with legalities, an Oppenlander master plan be on the calendar sometime after passage.
It's on the May ballot, yeah.
But as I'm sure all of you know, it's not an amount of money that the school district's going to be okay with.
No, I mean,
so, and they're suing the city and all that kind of stuff. I was thinking of putting Oppenlander on all this, but I got a feeling that nothing's going to happen. It's going to be in court for a while. And certainly unless the city council puts something else on, even if this were to pass, which I think is a little unlikely, but if it were to pass, there's no way the school district's going to accept $120,000 for that piece of property.
Yeah, I don't really understand why it's on the ballot, but yeah, as Ken said, pending the vote, if it somehow is approved,
I don't know. That's
start needing to talk about the plan for it.
Pending vote. John may be right. It might be pending acquisition.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the money that's in there for fixing it for the park that we want, the $3 million, is quite reasonable. It's just that there's no way the school district's going to give it to us for $120,000.
And that's out of our hands. And I just wanted to bring it up. That might be something that would be on the calendar soon if it happens. And
right.
Yeah. That's better. Hamilton. I don't know if I spelled Oppenlander right, but
I don't know. Can't read it.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Chris, are you good with these 12 items?
Yes, I am. I think that's good.
Okay. Jane?
Yes. One of my big concerns is getting the trees back in the parks. I know that's been discussed in our neighborhood association meeting yesterday. We had a big discussion about making sure some significant trees come back. But I kind of take that under the ice storm repair, because that's kind of stems from that. So wherever that fits in, that's a big concern.
I'm typing it in right now under that one. Oops. Great. Todd.
Yeah, I think the list looks good. I'm glad John brought up the Oppenlander pending that, because that will be pointed discussion. And then just looking to the schedule, of the two things I was thinking of, you know, maybe disc golf earlier in the year in our time frame, and the unique habitat stuff we could do in the fall. There's no super big rush on that one.
And I'm not so sure we need to spend a whole meeting on just disc golf.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it depends. I mean, if you got a bunch of Eagle Scouts that want to do a bunch of stuff to improve that area around the church, then that would be cool.
Well, I think that in May, April and May, we're going to be building a lot of communication pieces. Because you're right, leading up to a discussion on dog parks is going to take a little bit of work. I'm going to put preparation for dog discussion.
For dogs.
Okay. What I'd like to do is take this, and I'd like to come in, Ken, and maybe have a quick meeting with you just to go through your project plans and make sure everything dovetails, so that we aren't doing something that's going to throw your schedule off, and that we are, you know, working it as a joint plan. And then send it out for everyone to review and read prior to our next meeting. And if you feel okay with that, you guys are all right with that?
Sure.
Okay. And then there was one suggestion of maybe taking out the executive summary. And I'd like to just surface that suggestion for a moment, in that it's been my experience that there's been quite a bit of revision based on people's memories or maybe what their interests are. And I'd like to keep the executive summary in this as a reference so that we have that. And if we make reference to the master plan, that we're keeping that in front of us instead of just letting it go. I don't know if that's okay.
So Vicki, here's my thought. I was the one that surfaced it. Because I was kind of focused on the maintenance side of things, what I saw was that there was very little in the executive summary that covered maintenance. If this is just for us to have, I'm fine with it. My concern was if we presented it to council like this, that it would, you know, if they're looking at our plan and then going to the executive summary, there isn't going to be the documentation to back it up. They really need to look at the main body of the
they do
master plan. That was my only concern. But if this is just for us, then I'm fine with that.
Well, this is where the maintenance, the staff to support indoor programming. No, you know what? Oh, no, and this. Total staff per acre ratio is extremely low compared to like communities. Those are the two that refer to our staffing.
Which is important, but I guess what I'm thinking of is when we look at the prioritized needs, I should have in my suggested edits added a point to that in the maintenance item, which is, let's see, number five on our prioritized needs. Actually, maybe if we just added that. But again, those are my comments there in green. Really, you have to go into chapter four and then the appendices to get the, I don't say the details, but really even any kind of substance as far as specific needs for maintenance per the master plan.
You know what? I'm really glad that you fleshed that out. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And you added those pieces, but it's not necessarily the maintenance. It's really making sure there's adequate parks and rec. I'm going to do this. I should do it right. Staff. Okay. Okay. That's good. All right. Then the next step, Ken, if maybe I can get together with you first part of next week to just do kind of a crosswalk. With your stuff and complete it, then we'll send it back out to the board for one more review and then work on a communication to city council. Does that work?
It does, absolutely. And I just want to mention one thing about two topics. So community gardens and dog parks, right?
Yeah.
We certainly have a feeling that we need more of those, and there's an interest, I think, in both of those to have more access to those in our community. Mm-hmm. We need to come up with a system of location, location, location. What works? I mean, you know, we don't need approval yet, but I think if we just throw them out there and people, you know, we allow people to just tell us where they want them, if we've determined that they can't work there, let's still get them upset with us right off the bat and say, you ask us, we told you, you didn't listen to us. You know, so I think that's the first key kind of for the group is, you know, and our staff is, where could we have community gardens? Where could we have a dog park? And I think, what does that dog park look like? Do we need to define that? Because as you know, right now, we have many park areas that are used just like Marius Young. Right.
Right.
They're off-leash areas without a lot of enforcement at times. So dogs are off-leash in fields and parks, and not that that's good or bad, but what are we calling a dog park? As we're looking at this going forward, I think we, you know, the group defines that so that people know what that means. And within that, there's lots of different types with big dog areas, little dog areas, timid dog areas, all those things that we want to talk about, I guess, or have the board decide what is a dog park to you and present that to the community in some fashion.
How about if we add a column? I just took this one page and put it into landscape. And, you know, if we say dog park, what does that mean? That we add a little bit of a description. Does that make sense? Because yeah, you're right.
Maybe right now it's saying formal dog park. I mean, because I think what I heard from you is, you know, you want the community input, let them help define it.
Yeah.
But up front, it's different than maybe the off-leash area.
Right.
Vicki, I think we need to have the conversation to know what we're going to talk about. So instead of, like, you know, eliminating it or giving parameters, if we just leave it as vague as dog parks, then we can see where the discussion takes us. Does that make sense?
Okay, then I'll just take this column out. That's easy.
Because part of the conversation, like Jane, you point out, is to get some community engagement to help us understand what people are interested in, right? Because if we have a community garden conversation and only one part of the city is interested in it, then that might point us towards one particular area of working on, right?
Well, and also looking at all of the acreage, where's the best place? I mean, for example, Fields Bridge has a large community garden.
Mm-hmm.
That is one shoehorned in park. It would not make, or my opinion, wouldn't make a lot of sense to expand that garden there. I don't really know why we have a community garden there. It's riverfront, it's easy access. But looking at all of our acreage, you know, maybe we need a really extensive community garden area. Where would that make the most sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. That's the discussion. I kind of like that. No, we're not. The point is, we are advising the description of what is need, what we need to do to meet that prioritized need. I like that a lot. But Jane, I'm glad you went on that.
And I think to Jane's point, maybe we don't even talk about location at all. We talk about what does the community want. Mm-hmm. And once that's determined, then we move on to where could it potentially be.
Yeah, the goal is the description, as opposed to, you know, yeah, I like that.
That would work with both of those topics potentially.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, so is there anything else that we need to, this is work in progress, so we don't need a motion, I believe, isn't that right, Ken?
Yeah, we're good.
Correct, yeah, you're good.
So are there any other topics that anybody on the board wanted to surface before we, this would be the close of the meeting then?
In mind, going forward, just a kind of closing thing maybe, we cannot have a meeting in a park, but we can have a park tour. We can notice a quorum. We can't make any decisions, but if you do want to do some type of a tour or meet in a park, you know, that's always on the table, or we just can't hold a formal meeting and make decisions.
Right. We might want to definitely do that, maybe, and just have our field trip, you know, have a couple field trips to inform us as we go into one of our meetings, you know, before dog parks or before Mary S. Young. That's a great suggestion. Would people be willing to meet an additional, I would suggest it be maybe an additional meeting, not required, but would anybody be interested in specifically going to a park, whether it's Willamette, to really look at what are the plans? Mary S. Young, what is it that FEMA is going to do? And the dog leash area. Are people interested in that? I would be willing to do that. Jane says, yeah, Todd. I know John's in Mary S. Young. You know, we should, most days anyway. Chris, is that something that?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And I'm flexible on which one.
Okay. That's great. Would you prefer meeting at our 5:30 time? Or is this something that we could do? Because we are changing the time to daylight savings here this weekend. Or is that something, if we scheduled it in an afternoon, that people could accommodate? Or is it, would it be best after hours?
I can go a little bit earlier in the day, but you know, again, given the time change, I think this time works pretty well too.
Okay, so if we did a visit, park visit, sometime 5:30 zone work for people, because I'm also really conscious of our staff, and if we can make it at the end of a, you know, we can make it at 5 even, it would be better than, I don't want to keep Ben away from his family and activities. Okay. So we'll maybe look at that, add that to the schedule, and firm that up by our next meeting. Sounds great. Tara and Ken, are we going to in-person meetings starting next month, or are we staying online only, or is it whatever people want to do?
Well, my understanding is that in April we will go to in-person meetings, but if you recall, the new requirements are that we provide in person and virtual.
So hybrid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guidelines from the state that we're required to do. So, which I don't know. I mean, it's kind of complicated, because if you've seen when we kind of get in the Bolton conference room and you're virtual and we're not, it's like you just have this big group of people. But it's what we have to do. So we'll. Almost easier to go all virtual or all in person, but that's not my choice. So mine seems kind of awkward, but that's okay.
Okay. All right. Any other topics that need to be discussed? Then I'd like to call our meeting to close and thank everybody for their participation.
Cool.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good work, everybody.
Thank you.
And I really have to say, Ken and Tara did a great job at having really great, succinct, and comprehensive at the same time reports. That was really well done. Appreciated that.
You always do.
Yeah. Yep.
Friday weekend.
All right. See ya. Thank you.
Take care. Hi, everyone.